Okay, so I saw some of you guys at the conference over the weekend. Started off Thursday evening, and maybe there's still some there this morning. So, but it was really an awesome time. Retief and Wim-Johan gave a little bit of feedback already of what some of the speakers highlighted and emphasized. And for me, there's a couple of things that stood out for me over the whole course of the weekend. And from the speakers, but also especially in the worship, just seeing God again. The one thing that Corné Becker mentioned was when Abraham offered Isaac, was about to offer Isaac in obedience to God, and obviously it not being God's plan, God stopped him there. And then people refer to God in that instance as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. But actually, Corné says that that's been incorrectly translated because, I mean, Corné, he's a scholar and he reads the Bible in Greek. So it's generally accepted, widely accepted. He knows what he's talking about. And he says that it's actually translated the God who sees, and the God who sees you by implication. And so I really experienced God seeing us, His children, His family. And in turn, I also, and I believe we all got another glimpse of God's glory. Just saw Him from almost another angle, saw an aspect of Him. Corné also mentioned the four living creatures with the eyes all over in John's Revelation. How they would just be worshiping God for an eternity, and you know, from this angle, and then move on the next million years to that side, and then just worship Him again for another million years from that angle. And it's almost like I just got another glimpse of God. And so really, like, what was emphasized to me just in God's presence again was, you know, one of the threads that I can pull through the whole weekend for myself through the speakers, and then also especially in the worship, which was just so, God was just so there in just almost tangibly in His presence. And, you know, because God doesn't miss a gathering of His children. Where two or more are gathered in My name, there I'll be. And, you know, when we come in our thousands, there's really a special presence and anointing of God there. And what stood out for me was God's in charge. And yeah, He's with us. He's going to make it happen. We don't have to be afraid. We can trust Him. But that one chief thing, God's in charge. He's in control. There's never been a point in history or the whole of eternity where He's not been in charge, where He's not been in control, where something has happened that has taken Him by surprise, or where He has not been able to handle the situation. God has allowed things that have happened, and the tough times that have come, and the tribulations that await. These things are designed for a purpose as well. When we are with God and things come across our path, He will get us through that. And we'll be stronger for it. If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. There's truth in that. For God works all things together for those who love Him, those who are called according to His purpose. And we are the called, and we are the chosen part of the body of Christ. That's awesome. God's in charge. God's in charge. You can trust Him. Another thing that just stood out for me is Jesus Christ reigns, and He is reigning. He's the soon and coming King. He is King right now. And so we have a choice in the matter. We can choose to be with Him. We can choose to be victorious on the winning team, or we can stay outside of that. It's our choice. And you know what? It's a daily choice. Matthew 16:24, when Jesus says to His disciples, if anyone wants to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. The one translation has it, which I'd like to emphasize, take up his cross daily. It's a daily choice to choose to follow Jesus. Because if you're following Jesus, you've got a cross on your back. There's no like hopping and skipping after Jesus while he is carrying a cross. He paid the price for our salvation so that we could follow him. No servant is greater than his master. And even as Jesus suffered, this will be a portion for us as well. There is a baptism of fire for each of us. There is a cost involved. There's a decision that needs to be taken. So the theme of the conference overall was choose life. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. Just like us to look at that scripture again. So the Lord says to his people, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Does anyone here watch rugby? One or two of us. There at the back. The sound, our audiovisual team watches rugby because they connected visually and with audio. So they were watching maybe yesterday afternoon as well. It was a good game for us for a change. I start to cringe and the hair on my back, I don't have a lot of hair on my back, but there's hair on my back. Don't you guys too get distracted here now? Okay. So the hair on my back stands up when the ref does this. Does anyone know what that means? Maybe let's test some of the ladies here. Can I have a lady answer that question? TMO. And what does that stand for? Yes, the television match official. The television match official. He's the often unsung villain of rugby these days, you know. So the game gets put on hold for a few minutes while the TMO has a look at the incident in question, whether a ball was grounded, whether a guy went out, whether someone hit someone or was just saying hi or whatever the case may be, along with the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world. And it's just shocking that this guy, you know, he gets paid to do this and he's meant to know the rules of the game better than what we do, but he still gets it wrong very often. And so I start cringing when they start going to this because there's no guarantee. You kind of like a safe bet. You saw a misdemeanor, off the ball incident or something, and it's been alerted to the referee by the touch judge or something, and the referee does this, and we go to the TMO, and we're like, oh no, what's this guy going to come up with now? And we watch it in slow-mo, and he watches in reverse, you know, and everything, and you see that arm crashing, and then sometimes, or often, it's going against us when it's like just clear as day, that this TMO has now just made the wrong decision again. Can you believe it? You know. And the ref on the field, he's watching. This is like there are big screens in our stadiums, and he's watching it along with everyone else. And it's like 99% of the people, they don't get it wrong. And they can clearly see there was foul play. And the referee's like, you know, where's my spectacles? I can't see. Oh, now it's over. Sorry. Okay, so no, nothing bad happened there, whatever. Play on, or send a South African off the field, whatever. Anyway, the TMO. Now, what I want to say to you is that you are the TMO of your life. You are the TMO. Many times, and this morning, you get a kykweer. Let's look at it again. And the heavens, the heavenly and earthly witnesses, the earthly witnesses, let's say they're the people in the stadium, and the heavenly witnesses are the millions watching around the world on satellite. And you are the TMO. And now you've got to look, you put your life on pause, you replay some incident or maybe your whole life, because these days they can go back. The try was scored like, and 3 minutes later someone suspects a forward pass. So let's just rewind and now let's put a, you know, let's have a scrum down the other end of the field. So you're the TMO of your life. And you've got a choice. I want to remind you, Matthew 16:24, it's a daily choice. Every day, like Tom Inglis says, every day he wakes up and he says, thank you, Lord, for my salvation. Every morning he aligns himself with his heavenly purpose. Every morning he aligns himself with his Lord and Savior and chooses to follow Jesus. And so, we have this choice every day. We can remember that. Every day, you have to make a decision. Every day, you're the TMO. And it's a bit of a package deal that you have to choose between. You can't choose death and blessings. It doesn't go together. No. You choose life and blessings or death and curses. It's a package deal. You can't walk around blessed here on earth and think that, you know, and ignore the Lord or something and think that everything's going to be okay. Life and blessings, we've got to choose. And there's a knock-on effect as well. There's a legacy that we leave behind for our children as well and our children's children. It's a very important decision we have to make every day to choose life or death that gets ultimately put before us. And it's not only going to affect you in the here and now. Because that's what the world likes to think in the West now. That's the prevailing culture and attitude of the young people is, my worldview states that happiness is of utmost importance and I'll do in this moment whatever will bring me the most happiness or satisfaction. I'll do what I feel is right. We've thrown the moral book out the window. Whatever feels right to you in the moment, that equals right. Because it's all relative. There's no absolutes anymore. There's no, the line between right and wrong has been blurred completely. It's whatever you make it out to be. That's prevailing Western culture. That's secular humanism. But we see, yeah, that there's two sides. And that's it. There's only two sides. There's only two kingdoms. There's light and dark. There's life and death. There's the kingdom of God. And there's that which is under the sway of the wicked one. And we can choose. So you, the TMO, every morning, you get to choose which way you're going to walk. The scripture that the Lord really laid on my heart for this morning, so that's like just as the Lord's been talking to me through the conference and everything and the conference theme scripture, but the Lord asked me to share Isaiah 55, I'm just taking out the first three verses there. Just want to highlight about choosing life. So how do we choose life? So through the prophet, the Lord has told us, and it's for us here today as well. Come, all you are thirsty, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Okay, we see words there, satisfy. We see words there. Live. everlasting covenant, that security, obvious blessing that goes along with that. But there's two key words that would unlock that for me that we read there. And what would those be for you? What did you pick up? Just on the surface, two words. Maybe try one. Which one stands out for you? How do you get there? How do you get to life? Was that a hand or was it just... Come. Okay. I got that one as well. That's good. That's one of them. And then there's another one. Got emphasized as well. Okay. Someone's paying attention. Good. Those are the two that I got as well there. Okay. So, there we have a decision. You're the TMO. You've got to choose life or death. But what do you... You know, practically, how do we do that? We're talking here about God is putting before us a choice of life and death. So in my everyday walk, how does that translate? I mean, it sounds cool and it's great and I know it's true, but practically, what am I choosing? How do I go about making that choice? You know? Is something going to change? What am I going from? Where am I now? Okay, so life, satisfaction, blessing rests and abides there where the Lord is, where Jesus reigns with Him. So if I'm with Jesus today, when I wake up tomorrow morning, I want to choose to stay with Jesus. If I'm not with Jesus, He's calling me to come to Him. When I'm with Him, to walk in that life that He wants me to have, because Jesus came to give me abundant life, more than enough, excess, surplus, life to share, love in overflow to give away, where the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. Those are the two poles. So when I come to the Lord, I need to listen, heed what He's saying. He emphasizes that. That doesn't happen in every verse. Where you read, listen to me. If you say those words to someone, how are you saying it to them? Are you saying, listen to me? No, it's more like, listen to me. You know, wake up. You got to kind of sit up and pay attention when we see the Lord speaking to us in that way. He's being serious. And so there's some metaphorical language there. We're talking about being thirsty, we're talking about being hungry, but it seems like it's actually talking about more than that, because we're saying, yeah, your soul will delight. Hear me, that your soul may live. Okay, this is not just literal food and water. This is spiritual. But food and water would represent what we cannot go without. Without food and water in the spiritual sense, dead completely. Just like in the natural, you cannot go without food and water for too long. So medically, when you practice the discipline of fasting, medically, they say don't go without water. Liquid for more than 3 days. Don't go without food for more than 7 days, because your body starts deteriorating rapidly after that point. Many of my friends have fasted for longer than that time, and you know, broken those medical rules. That's when God laid specifically on their hearts to do something like that. So do it in consultation with your pastor. Don't go on a 40-day absolute fast, no food, no water. If you haven't heard from God, firstly, and then maybe you just want to just have someone keep you accountable for that as well. Chat a bit to your pastor. But the point is, in the natural, God designed our bodies in such a way we need food and water. And spiritually, he's saying, come to me. There's a food and a water that I have for you that without you will, spiritually, you will die without that. Okay, so there's something that God has that we need spiritually, because he's clearly, it's not talking about literal food and water here. There's something that he has that we need. And how do we get it? We need to come to him. You cannot get it if you're not with Jesus. You cannot get it anywhere else. One John chapter 5, verse 12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. There are many people breathing this morning or this evening all around planet Earth, wherever they may be, that do not have life because they do not have the Son of God. They think they are alive in one sense, yes, a physical sense, but in another sense they are dead because they do not have Jesus. In the more important sense, they are dead, because now we're talking about eternity. Because when God talks about life, he doesn't just talk about the 70-odd years that many of us have here on earth. When he talks about life, he's talking eternity. Because God doesn't die. His reference for life is forever and ever. And he created us to be with him forever and ever. When he talks about life, he's talking in the forever sense. He's saying, yeah, an everlasting covenant. One where the physical death that we've come to know is merely a transition, a doorway to eternity. As long as we are breathing in this form, we've got that all-important choice to make. Choose life. I've said before you, life or death, choose life. Come to me. Listen. Listen to me. That your soul may live. We can be in church, outwardly project that we're doing all the right things. We could have come to the Lord. We're kind of, okay, Lord, I've come to your house, so you are here, here I am. But I can sit here, and I might not be listening. I might not be heeding what the Lord is saying. So, if I realize I'm the TMO every morning, I've got that choice to make. Am I going to take up my cross today? Am I going to choose life today? Every moment of the day, there's various junctures that we come to, crossroads, decisions that have to be made. Which way am I going to go? Am I going to go the way of the world? Am I going to go the way that seems best in my own eyes? Or am I going to take the way that the Lord is leading in? And it's not a case of everything happens for a reason. Choices are made. God has a plan for your life. We are not all walking automatically in God's plan for our life. We don't automatically choose life. Sometimes we're choosing death, and God's like, wake up. That is not what I want for you. And then we can't say everything happens for a reason. No. That's silly. We need to choose God's way. So we need to ask him, God. So he wants relationship. He wants us to be involved and interact with him. When you come to a decision, I mean, some things we do in our daily life as a result of a decision that we took some time ago, we chose to do a certain job. Hopefully we prayed about that, a certain career that we're following and a job and whatever. We prayed about that. God showed us. So there's some parts of your day that you don't need to pray about. God, must I do this because it's in obedience to what God told me to do a long time ago. But then there's other things that will pop up in your day, maybe even in the work context, that are not according to the daily tasks, and you're going to have to choose. So is this within the parameters? My boss has asked me to do something. Okay, it's within what is reasonable to ask. It is not sin. So yes, I'll do it. Bible says, obey your masters. Okay, got a choice to make. Sometimes it's maybe something a bit difficult. Ooh, my boss asked me to do something and this is actually fraudulent and whatever. I've got to make a choice here. Choose life or death. Choose God or choose the job. Because I know that if I don't do what my boss says here, I'm probably going to be out of a job. Well, choose life. Don't choose the job. Choose life. Okay, now you're at home. Things happen at home. Kids are naughty. They need some discipline. The world says, if you spank your child, you're a child abuser, lock you up, take the children away. Or choose life. Choose what the Bible says. Spare the rod and hate the child. Bible says, I must discipline my child. Okay. You can quote me in the papers if you like. But there's already been a court case about that, so don't waste your time. We've got choices to make every day. Now, when you come to those crossroads, you need to come to the Lord and you need to listen to what He's saying. He's given us a manual, people. It's all in here. We've got the Holy Spirit to remind us, and He will mostly remind you only of what you've read, because He's looking for some cooperation, some desire on our part to actually be with the Lord and do what the Lord says. So if we're not reading the Word at all, then we're already not choosing life. When you open this, you've chosen life. When you acquaint yourself with the Word, familiarize yourself with the Word, train yourself up in the Word, you're choosing life. We need to do this daily. The Holy Spirit will remind you in that moment. But if you don't got nothing, there's some great Bible software online. You can Google something. Discipline, children, enter. Bible. And it will give you some answers there. Choose life. So we need to go through life connected to the Lord, prayerful, listening. And praying is not just about coming to the Lord with our desires, our needs. The more, generally, the more mature we get in the Lord, the more time we'll spend praying for other people, which would inherently mean more time waiting on the Lord and listening to what He wants us to pray. Because we don't automatically know what other people need. We might think we do, but we actually don't. Because despite Facebook and everything, people actually still have a lot to hide and that they don't share. We share the good stuff on Facebook. That's not always going to give you prayer fodder. You need to actually ask God, what do we need to pray for? So we need to wait on Him. And that's why it says there, listen. Listen to me. Okay. So if we're not with the Lord, we must come to Him. If we're with Him, we must listen to Him. That is practically how we can choose life. And then obviously the choice that has to be made, action has to be taken. We have to carry out the instruction. Because the Lord is moving and He says, follow me. We can come to Him and we can listen and He's going to move off. like Jesus moved to the next town. Now, if you don't get up from where you're sitting and follow him, if you don't obey what he's asked you to do, that's also not going to benefit you. That listen to me, that implies following through with what he's asking you to do. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time. He says there, come buy food. Now, it's cool to buy food, but it's cooler to eat it. Listen to the Lord, but he expects us to follow through with what he's asking us. Jesus had 12 disciples that walked with him for 3 years. Thousands heard him, but they wouldn't hang around to go to the next town. But those 12 disciples, after Jesus fed the multitudes, went over Galilee to Capernaum, the people were waiting for him there. Because they experienced a miracle, they were fed for free. Free food, you draw the people. Free food will fill this all out. So bring food next Sunday. They were waiting for him, and then he rebuked them, and he didn't give them more food, and they left. And so he asked his 12, are you guys also going to go? And they said, no, Lord, where will we go? You have the words of life. Where will we go? I'd like to ask Shadrach, do you mind bringing the communion? We're just going to have communion together. And let's just consider our own lives as if the game has been stopped for the TMO. Think of your life and then place your life and the different aspects of it into those two categories of life or death. Okay, because if we're honest with ourselves, none of us are 100% in the life category at all times. We slip up sometimes, we choose death. Sometimes we choose not to follow the Lord's way in an aspect or pertaining to some decisions. And sometimes that's a pattern in our lives. Sometimes we habitually choose death when it comes to certain things. Maybe we've got some kind of addictions, whatever it might be. We are choosing death. Sin leads to death. Sin is everything outside God's will. Sometimes we are choosing death, people, all of us. Thank you. Oops. Sometimes we are choosing death if we're honest with ourselves. But this morning the Lord is pleading with us to choose life. So if you don't know when it is exactly that you are choosing death, ask the Holy Spirit now to reveal it to you. As I said, we all sometimes choose death. And sometimes it's actually a pattern in our life. So ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. The Word of God is like a mirror held before us. Discerns the intents of our hearts. Most often, at least in the area of our motives, we choose death. We choose selfishly. We choose comfort, pleasure, control, power, approval of man. We choose these things above God. And it's an idol. So, let's just take a moment, just close our eyes. Let's hold on to the communion for now. Lord, I ask you, Lord, by your Spirit to come and search our hearts. Reveal to us, Lord, those areas, Lord, that we have not consecrated to you, that those times when we have chosen other things and not you. Reveal to us, Lord, if there's a pattern in our lives, Lord God, that we have fallen into, where we continuously choose death and not life, not your way. Lord, remind us this morning of where we've compromised. Maybe it's been long ago. We made a decision that's just slightly off of what you wanted for us, and we opened the door to compromise, and we've been walking that road. Reveal to us, Lord. Grant us the grace this morning that we can repent of that. That we can acknowledge that as sin. That we can acknowledge our need for you to help us there. That we can renounce that, walk away from that. That we can choose life instead. So that we and our children may live. Lord, so many of the bad things in us we inadvertently pass down to the next generation. They learn from us whether we like it or not. And we are not always imitating Christ. Sometimes we choose death. And we see them falling into the same traps. And it's our fault, Lord. Because today you set before us the choice again in your mercy and your grace. I pray for grace for each of us this morning to choose life, whatever it is that you reveal to us, Holy Spirit. Some things we recognize immediately is right there on the surface, staring us in the face, and we know it right now. We know that thing is wrong in my life. That thing is not godly. That motive, that habit, that desire is not godly. And Lord, this morning we want to lay that down before you. And we want to say, yes, Lord, I know that brings death. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of that. I choose this morning to walk away from that bad habit, that selfishness. Seeking man's approval above yours, Lord. Just being hungry for more power, more significance, but outside of what you have planned for my life. Just, Lord, where we try and strive and do things in our own strength, and where we trust and lean on our own understanding and not on your words. Forgive us, Lord. Holy Spirit, search our hearts. I'm just going to give you a few moments to whatever the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. The Lord is very gracious. He'll probably only reveal one or two things in this time, and then just bring that before the Lord. I'll just give you time for that, and you pray that through with the Lord before we have communion. I feel there's also someone here needs to forgive someone. Just bring that before the Lord as well. That just repent of that unforgiveness and just release that person that you were harboring bitterness towards. Release them and bless them. I feel the Lord saying as well, there's some of us here that we have a deep-rooted fear that He wants to deliver us from, and we haven't come to that place where we trust Him yet, where our security is 100% in Him. And you know what it is. You know the areas where you don't trust the Lord completely. You've had to take your own security measures. You're not trusting God to keep you safe. And I'm not just talking in a literal sense. There's a lack of trust there, and the Lord wants, He wants your whole heart. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to know that He'll look after you in that area that you're still trying to organize it yourself. You don't 100% believe God can do it for you. Trust Him. Let go of that fear. He has not given you a spirit of fear that's not of God. Lay it down. It's not of God. So Lord, we just want to thank You, Lord, for the picture of marriage this morning as well. Thank You for the blessedness of marriage. And thank You, Lord, that I'm reminded, Lord, even as we say our vows to one another and we say that we will forsake all others and be faithful to You as long as we both shall live. And Lord, this morning, we want You to know, Lord, that it's our desire to forsake every other idol and God in our lives. We choose You this morning, Jesus Christ, to be our King and to come and rule and reign in our lives. We choose to forsake all others. There's no second prize. There's no second best. There's no second option. It's only You, Lord. It's only You. We are not on that same stage, Lord. We are not on that throne. You are, Lord. You make the choices. We will not second guess You, Lord. We will not somehow think that our plan is better than Your plan for our lives. We will trust You and we will follow You. We surrender control to You this morning, Lord. Thank You, Jesus, for the cross. Thank You, Lord. You are the only one who is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Thank You, Lord, that we have someone to follow in this life. Thank You that we can follow You, Lord. Thank You that You invite us to follow You, to be with You. Because You know we need You. We cannot live by ourselves. We cannot get it right. Outside of You, everything just deteriorates and breaks down. On the surface, we can somehow get by that other people will think we're okay. But inside, we're broken without You, Lord. Because we all need a Savior. And we thank You, Jesus, that You came to save us. Thank You that we can follow You. Thank You that You gave up Your life so that we can live. And this morning as we share communion, we proclaim the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's eat together. Let's drink together. Maybe we can just give the Lord thanks before we go home with just worshiping one more song together. That'll be awesome. And while we're busy worshiping, how I just want to invite you to respond to the Lord. If the Lord has been working in your heart, if the Holy Spirit's been revealing anything to you this morning, don't be in a rush to get out of here. These are sacred times with the Lord. I want to encourage you to maybe just come forward and just soak in God's presence while if you've done your business with the Lord and you feel you need to go, then you're welcome to go. But that we just keep it quiet in the front here with, you know, people just, if anyone wants to pray. And yeah, and then we'd love to pray with you as well. So for any need, and especially if you feel, well, the Lord was specifically telling you this morning to